Let us pray. Thank you, God, for your divine movement in our worship, Lord. That we don't always keep doing the same thing over and over again. But Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can sing and praise. For Lord, you are worthy, Lord. So Lord, Father God, we thank you for your spirit. Lord, we thank you for the unction, Lord, that you have placed in our hearts, Lord, to glorify you, Lord. If we had 1,000 tongues, we couldn't thank you enough. Lord, if we had 1,000 songs, we couldn't sing about you enough. So Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would just have your way, Lord, in this preaching moment. Lord, that you would be glorified. Lord, that someone would be encouraged today. Lord, that somebody would continue to fight the good fight. And if someone know you not in the pardon of their sins, Lord, Lord, at the end of this message, that they would cry out, what must I do to be saved? If someone standing in a crossroads looking for a direction to go, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would give them Holy Ghost boldness today. Lord, to not worry about others, but Lord, just think about their relationship with you. And Lord, that they would make a decision, the best decision they could ever make. For Jesus came, and before his disciples, all he said was, follow me. So now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, please, God, let it be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, I strengthen our Redeemer. Let the people of God say amen, 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 and amen. Amen. Let us rest on our feet. Let's put our hands together for our senior choir one more time. Wonderful, wonderful. Amen. You would meet me in Lamentations. Amen. Praise the Lord. Chapter 3, Old Testament. Come on. Right after Jeremiah. Come on. Don't get lost now. Lamentations chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 21 through 26. We'll wait on you. We hear them pages turning. It'll be all right. When you get there, say amen. Amen. All right. Now, if I can just get there, it would be even better. All right. Verse 21, we'll find these words and words similar. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The portion, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Right. Amen. That's all I have time for today. But I think that's enough. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor,
neighbor.
Oh, neighbor,
oh neighbor,
great is,
great is
thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Somebody ought to have a smile on their face when they think about that. Great is thy faithfulness. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad, church, that I serve a faithful God. Before we even talk about how God is faithful, we need to know what faithful means. Because in today's society, we have some folks that say, I'm faithful. But they wouldn't know what faithful meant if it walked up to them and tapped them on the shoulder. Faithful is defined as being loyal. Can I get a witness? You know, loyalty. You know, some folks, amen, they'll say they with you 1 minute, and then when situations turn, they will jump off the bandwagon at the fastest as they can get. And sometimes even, like they said, they used to break their legs falling off that bandwagon. Faithful means being constant. The problem with some of us that we're not constant. We're here today, gone tomorrow, we're hot, and then we're cold, we're fickle, and then we're funny. Come on, we got your back today, but then tomorrow, they'll turn on you. They're faithful one day, but yet saying they're faithful, but then unfaithful. Can I get a witness? And we see that, but being constant in the things of God, being constant that when people call on you and when they think about it, they don't have to worry about whether you're going to show up or not. Come on. There'll be folks that will tell you, I'm coming tomorrow. Come on, I've seen folks, amen, out in the street, and they see pastor, and they ain't been to church in years. Amen, they see me, and I said, oh, yeah, I'll be there this Sunday. If I got a quarter for every time I heard that, I would be a millionaire. Can I get a witness? All kind of stuff will come up, but you got to be constant, amen. You got to be what? Steadfast. Because trials will come. Disappointments will set in. Money will get funny. Can I get a witness? I mean, situations will come up, but when God, amen, he is steadfast. God is what? He's constant. Come on, he is there when oftentimes even your family will turn their back on you. God is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. Whatever God says he's going to do, God will do it. And the thing about God's faithfulness that I love is that God is faithful even when we're not faithful. God is loving and God is constant even when we're not constant. Come on, God, amen. He will still bless us and speak to us and help us even when we haven't prayed all week long. Great is thy faithfulness. When we look at the book of Lamentations, we will find some interesting things about the book of Lamentations that when you look at it is actually five poems put together. Come on, and when you look at it, amen, it talks about some things, and before we even got there, the book of Jeremiah precludes Lamentations, and throughout the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah was speaking to a disobedient people. Jeremiah was preaching to folks, and they were doing whatever they were big and bad enough to do. They were into idol worship. They were into not being faithful and committed to God, and they were doing what they wanted to, whatever felt right, and amen, they put God on the shelf and did whatever seemed right in their own sight. They talked about Jeremiah. They called him the hypocrite. There's nothing worse than folks that don't want to be faithful but will jump on you and say just the opposite. But we look and we see Jeremiah spending all that time and saying, if God says, if you do not do this, I will teach you a lesson. And see, in today's society, we see a falling away. Yes, we do. And then some of us, what we do is because we're not faithful, we stop coming because when we come to church and we don't see others, and we'll start saying, well, I'm not going to come because nobody else is going to be there. But no, if you learn how to be faithful, and each person will learn how to be faithful, we would have a church full of faithful people. Yeah. I don't come because somebody else came. I come because when I think about all that God has done for me, when I think about how he has blessed me, can I get a witness? How he has encouraged me, how he's given me hope when everybody else said it was hopeless. Amen. How he blessed me above measure, how he did exceedingly and abundantly, oftentimes more than I asked or thought. I can't help but on Sunday morning to give him what's due to him. Because you have some folks that ain't grateful, and that's why they're not faithful. Amen. Because he's faithful, I am grateful. Amen. And so when we look at this, we see that the book of Jeremiah comes to an end. And now those promises that he said were going to take place, amen, are now coming. Amen. Now, if you look at the beginning of, amen, this three, and as you move forward, it says that, listen, now God is in hot pursuit of these people. Can I get a witness? God is so on them that he oppresses them. Amen. He comes after them like a bear. Amen will come after devouring food. Can I get a witness? It shows how many times that the oppression that will come, that they look, the enslavement, that one, you used to be free, but now all of a sudden, even the servants will now, amen, be over their masters. Amen. Look, you once had food and bread, and now you are begging for bread. You once had land, and now you're working the land. And look, you used to have the trees, but now, amen, they're what? You're buying your own trees back. Now, they're in a mess. Jeremiah's proclaimed what God's word said, and now they're in store for 70 years of now being captive and being taken away from their land and brought to exile, and now becoming slaves when they once were free. 70 years. Can you imagine it? Come on, you're starting to see a falling away in the church. And amen, that once we used to be the head, now we're the tail. We used to be, amen, the top, and now we're being the middle guy. Can I get a witness? And even taking anything that can come up. Better watch the United States with all the decisions that we're making, that God is not pleased. And we've got to be like Jeremiah. We've got to be proclaiming what thus saith the Lord. And saying that if you do not heed to God's word, amen, just because you were once a great nation for many decades and generations, that God can turn it around. That guess what? Now we can become the slave. That we will be the servant instead of the master. Because God is not pleased with what's going on in our lives. Notice his suffering didn't happen for 7 minutes, 7 days, but for 70 years. 70 years. That means some folks going to get caught up in slavery and die in slavery. Come on. Some folks will be born into it, and that's all they'll know and have that mentality. Come on, somebody. But when we look at this real quickly, the first thing that I see in verse 21 is the recall of the believer. And see, what we see is that when believers, that's the reason why many of our young people suffer, is because they don't have the privilege of having recall. Oh, come on. See, when you were young, amen, and you didn't want to come to church, but what they told you, you better get down there to Sunday school. Can I get a witness? You better sit in church and act like you listening to that preacher. Can I get a witness, somebody? Amen, that it provides a sense of recall, that listen, that now you've been exposed and you've been around the things of God and you know his word. So that when folks say something that's contrary, amen, you know it's wrong, because that Holy Spirit that within you, amen, starts, that alarm starts to go off and say, that ain't right. Now, I wasn't with it, but I heard some things, and I can recall that that's not what God said. I remember when I had some assignments, and when I was in Sunday school, and it was Easter, and I had to remember my two lines. I used to have to, amen, if it was Thanksgiving, amen, I had to learn a Bible verse or I didn't eat. And that food would get cold while we were waiting. And you used to pray, please don't say Jesus wept, please don't say Jesus wept. Amen. Who wants to go first? Me. Well, here comes John 3:16. Come on. I got this. I know I'm going to eat today. But look what it says in verse 21. Because what you got to understand, this recall comes when what? We've suffered everything. And here's the thing that we've got to understand, is that God will beat us up and we will pay the price. We reap what we sow. But in the midst of what? All the desolation and all of the trouble and all of the tribulation and the midst of all that's going on. When we go through our pity parties and what? Now we got to pay for our sins. Amen. And all of a sudden, what do? We start getting mad at God for what we have done. Can I get a witness? And we're about to quit. But then all of a sudden, we have a recall. And it says in verse 21. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Notice he didn't say we didn't deserve to be consumed, but it's because of the Lord's mercies, amen, that listen, no matter all the things that we're going through, come on, we've become homeless, amen. We don't have clothes on our back. We don't have food on our table. Come on, we don't have a right mind. But right now, even in the midst of all of that hardship, it says this, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. And I want to say to somebody today, if you're not dead yet, you still got hope. Can I get a witness? So stop recalling all that has happened to you and all the negative things, because that's what Satan wants to do. Satan wants to keep whispering in your ear, amen, yeah, you've done this, you've done that, amen, but yet you still ain't done this, you still haven't done that, and you've gone through this, and this is happening in your life, this is wrong, this is out of place, this needs a little help, amen, but yet he wants you to focus on all the negativity, but I'm here to tell you, you need to have some recall. Can I get a witness to say that in spite of all that I've done, he has not consumed me. He loved me so much that even in the midst of me, come on, drinking under the folks under the table, in the midst of what smoking stuff that I didn't even know what I was smoking, in the midst of me laying with folks that I didn't even know their name, can I get a witness? And in fact, I'm standing up all night sweating, come on, and partying, thinking I was having a good time, and music blasted till my ears started ringing, amen, jumping around thinking I had something. But even through all of that now I can praise God and say, in the midst of all of that, where I should have been dead. I don't even know how I got home last night. I woke up and I was in my bed and asked the question, how did I get there? Safely. He says, amen. It is because his compassions fail not. Jeremiah's condition paralleled that of Judah. An outward affliction and an inward turmoil. Come on, some of us don't see the inward battle that we face sometimes. Amen, and you got to watch it. Amen, if anybody's, you know, because some of y'all are just so infatuated with marriage that you just think that you can just find anybody and it's going to make it perfect. But let me help you out so that you don't have a life of misery. Can I get a witness? If that person doesn't love themselves, they will never love you. Come on. If they don't learn how to love God, can I get a witness? Amen. They won't know about that agape love that is necessary, amen, for you to make it through a relationship. Can I get a witness? Because, see, the truth is that in our relationships, we got to die to self. And isn't that what messes up our relationships? Because what we want, everything that we want it how we want it, when we want it, however we want it, amen. And then when that person cares, then we go to the left. It says it pushed him to despair. My soul is in downcast. See, Satan is a liar. He's a master liar. And he will speak to you sometime and make you feel so bad. Amen. And he'll get in your ear and say, God left you. God doesn't love you. Look what you've done. Who would love anything like that? That's when you need God's word. He said, he loved me in spite of. While we were yet sinners, he died for me, Satan. Can I get a witness? However, one thought, this I call to mind, I recall, crowded out of the hopelessness. Anybody seen hopelessness that threatened to overwhelm him? Because the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. That's good news. His compassions never fail. The doctors give you bad news. Come on, young people, you're failing in school. But guess what? Listen, even if it got to take over later on, amen, as I said last week, sometimes you got to see your way through some stuff. Can I get a witness? Everybody's not going to get an A. But at the end of the day, when you walk across that stage and Satan is mad, but you can hear your parents 300 yards away saying, yes, I prayed. I put it before the Lord. I declared it. I saw it before it happens. Can I get a witness that listen, God is going to make a way out of no way. Judah was down but not out. God was punishing Judah for her sin, but did not reject her as a covenant people. The word for great love hereof is hesed. Amen. And which is the idea of a loyal love. I wish we had more folks that had a loyal love. Come on, you're gonna find out that folks ain't perfect, but you still learn to have a loyal love. Come on, some of us, man, well, I didn't know he did that. Yeah, but what did you do? Which is the idea that God was sticking by the people he had chosen. We need to learn how to stick by one another. God is chosen. Can I get a witness? The covenant made with Israel. Come on, in Deuteronomy 28. Come on, he talked about that, right? He said, I will bless you if you do the things that I have told you. I got you. I will bless you continually. But I got some curses for you, too. In fact, God's loyal love could be seen in his faithfulness in carrying out the curses he had promised. He said, I said I was going to do it, so I got to do it. Lord, have mercy. And he had promised the same time preserving a remnant. The judgment itself was a witness to the fact that God had not abandoned his people. God has not abandoned you. No matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, God has not abandoned you. Matter of fact, it says God's compassions comes from the Hebrew word rahim, means to wound, talking about a wound, or in the plural, for what intensity? In other words, he wants to heal your wounds with intensity. Can I get a witness with fervor that he gets it done quickly to get you over what you're going through? But listen, too many times we turn to other people to try to help us with our problems and our wounds and our situations, and all they do is keep opening the scab back up. They keep reminding you of what you did do. Can I get a witness? But I'm here to tell you that God says, no, what I'm gonna do for you. Can I get a witness if you just hang with me? We need to understand that what? He has gentle feelings of concern for those that belong to him. Lord, have mercy. Then it gets even better because he gives us a reason for our hope. Why? For verse 23 says, they are renewed every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. It's a terrible thing to have no hope. It's a terrible thing to live your life and you think, this is it. I have no hope. I've tried everything. My thing is, have you tried Jesus? Can I get a witness? Come on, you tried everything that the world has to say, but let me tell you, the world is messed up. They try to decorate stuff, and then when they don't come through, then they come up with all kind of explanations. You know, folks are now trying to fall away from the church because they say science has disproved, amen, that the church is right and that the Bible is accurate. No, it hasn't. And for those of you that believe that the scientists know more than the Bible, can I get a witness? I dare you to get sick. I just dare you. Can I get a witness? And you will go to the doctors and they will look at you. They will poke you. They will test you. And then you'll ask, well, what's wrong with me, doctor? But may I make a recommendation for one who does know? Because I found that whenever, amen, that when things go wrong in your life and things start to mess up, amen, whatever you've had before, you need to take it back to the manufacturer. The one who built it? Yes, sir. Can I get a witness? Yes, sir. And when you take it back to the manufacturer, I'm here to tell you, amen. Come on, Gigi. Come on, mama. Come on, Gigi. Y'all know who I'm talking about, Gigi. Sister Brown. Come on. Come on. And when you go to Jesus, he will show you what's wrong with you. He will fix what's wrong with you. Can I get a witness? Doctors are there for a purpose. Don't run away from the doctors, because some of us have died from some of the most basic things because what, we won't get tested, we won't get observed. Come on, we won't go through the taking the medication stuff. Look, ultimately, when you go to the pharmacies should be sued, because guess where the pharmacies get their stuff from? They get it from the ground which God made. And then they get enough nerve to patent something that already God had provided. You got folks running around in indigenous nations, amen, that don't even have lights, but know that what the answer is in the ground. All right, y'all ain't praying with me. That God has provided everything that we need. But it says they are renewed every morning. Why do I say that? Because some of us feel as though what God's love has been exhausted. He's helped some other people, so many other people that he can't love me. Do you know what I've done? There's no way that he loves me enough. That's okay. Maybe I can just get a little bit of this. No, he says what? Every day it is renewed. Can I get a win? Isn't that good? So y'all heard me say this and y'all laugh at me, but I'm so serious. Amen. If you're having a bad day, go to bed. Where are you going? But this need to be done. I'm going to bed. Amen. This has been the worst day ever. Can I get a witness? Everything has gone wrong. Amen. I ran three lights not paying attention. Come on. But all I went through, all these things, my head hurt, felt like it's going to explode. Amen. The bank said they messed up and accidentally transferred. Amen. They look, come on. I asked for them to pay 1 month of my bill. They paid three and say it's going to take 60 days to back it back out. Oh, can I get a witness? They got my money. They messed up on my money. Worst day ever. I'm going to bed. Because weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It says here that what every new morning. Come on, great is thy faithfulness. Could Judah push God so far that he would finally abandon them forever? Was God's supply of loyal love and compassion limited? Jeremiah's answer was no. God's loving kindness. Amen, are new every morning. God offered a fresh supply of loyal love every day to his covenant people. Much like manna in the wilderness, the supply should not be exhausted. The truth caused Jeremiah to call out in praise. Anybody been through a hardship and you just start praising him in the midst of it and folks think you're crazy and they don't understand? They said you ought to be depressed. You ought to be down. Amen. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And amen, I'm praising him and I'm smiling and I'm thanking God because I know that anything that he bring me to, he'll bring me through. Can I get a witness? This is just a test so that I can show other people that he has not left me. Amen. I may struggle. I may mess up. Amen. But God never lets me fail a test. He may make me take it over and over again, but one day I'm going to pass that test. He says, because of this resolve, he said, wait for God to act. The problem with us is that God acts and we go somewhere else. And when he come back to tell us he acted, we're not even around. Oh, it got quiet in here. Bringing about restoration and blessing. He could trust God despite of his circumstances because he now understood how inexhaustible was God's supply of love, loyal love. But listen to this. This blew my mind. These verses are reminiscent of the confessions in the book of Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah, like us, he got laughed at. He got mocked. He was abused. He got so upset, he was ready to turn in his resignation. In Jeremiah 20, verse 7, you'll find these words, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily, and everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. I was the joke of the day, Jeremiah says in chapter 20. Amen. And then verse 8. But then verse 9, he has an epiphany. Can I get a witness? After a while, Jeremiah came to him and said, verse 9, then I said, I will not make mention of him. Come on. I will not even give him the dignity of speaking his name anymore. Since he's done all this to me, I will blot him from my mind and my tongue. Amen. I will act like a heathen since he appears to have turned his back on me. Can I get a witness? Some of y'all have done that. Nor speak any more of his name. But thank God for that Holy Ghost conjunction. Can I get a witness? Amen. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary. Lord, have mercy, and were forbearing, and I could not stay. In other words, I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I couldn't keep it to myself. How good he's been to me. How I know I should be dead right now. How I know I lied on him. How I know I betrayed him. How I know I didn't live for him. But in spite of that, he still blessed me. He gave me gifts. He gave me blessings. He gave me love that I didn't deserve. Great is thy faithfulness. Deacon Barry, they are a familiar many Christians. These words right there, as he says, great is thy faithfulness, because they form the basis of the well-known hymn by Thomas O. Chisholm, who lived from 1866 to 1960. He wrote somewhere in that hymn as he formed it together, great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Somebody ought to shout right here. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Can somebody give a witness to that? All that I needed. Notice he didn't say all that I wanted, but he said all that I needed, thy hands have provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Then listen to how he closes his Lord unto me. He didn't say other people, because some of us, we always trying to keep up with other people. Then we say, yeah, he was faithful to somebody else. But no, it says right here, amen, the writer of this, amen, this great hymn says, Lord unto me. It gets personal. Can I get a witness? Sometimes we got to come to church and it's personal. Come on, can I get a witness? Sometime when you're in church, amen, and come on, you're in the house of God, and somebody's standing next to you, amen, and you, come on, you feel with the Spirit, and you want to do some stuff, and then they come next to you and say, oh, I want to talk about this. Excuse me. I forgot something. God has something that I need to take care of. Unto me. The story of how, listen to this, blows my mind, because the story of how Chisholm came to write this great hymn reveals a profound truth about God's faithfulness. Some great hymns are written in response to a dramatic spiritual experience. This is not the case in Great is Thy Faithfulness. However, it was not the product of one single experience, but a lifetime of God's faithful care. Not long before his death, Chisholm wrote this. Listen to what he said. He said, my income has never been large at any time due to impaired health in the early years, which has followed me until now. But I must not fail to record here of the unfailing faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God, and that he has given me many wonderful displays of his providing care, which have filled me with astonishing greatness. Can I get a witness? When the text for Chisholm's hymn was placed in a proper biblical context, the wonder of God's providing care comes all the more apparent when God wrote, there were words of a survivor. Did you hear that? Words of a survivor, of a man who had suffered great evil without abandoning his confidence in God's faithfulness. Indeed, it was because Jeremiah suffered greatly that he was able to appreciate the little mercies of daily life. That's why God put you through what you went through in your life. You know those secret problems and setbacks that you don't even tell people that you went through because you don't want them to know all of that. But sometimes you don't want them to feel bad about you, or sometimes you don't want them to judge you. Can I get a witness? And we all got them. Amen. We've hidden them. Sometimes mama don't know. Sometimes your mate don't know, or you think they don't know, but your body language and the way you treat certain things that you've been just suppressing and you've been holding on to. Amen. And it's been bottling up. Amen. Amen. And then you don't tell anybody, but God says, I was faithful that I got you through. I know it was devastating. I know it was difficult. Amen. Sometimes anybody been sick before and you've been through so much pain, or you've been through so many setbacks, and you're sitting there and said, Lord, just take me. And he said, nah, that's not why I'm putting you through this, to take you. It's so that what? You can help somebody else. That people can see me moving in your life. And then folks will say, if they did it for her, if they did it for him, I know he'll do it for me. Then there's a reward for those who wait. Look at this in verse 26 and 25 and 26, and we're done. It says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. Somebody hear that? There's a reward for those who wait. Some of us didn't wait. We went out on our own. We tried to do it our way. To the soul that what seeketh him. Then it closes, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Now see, this thing preached to me and blessed me all week right there, because I have been told, and I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but that some of the best ways to handle waiting is just to shut up. Oh, come on, somebody. Because see, we blow our blessings sometimes when we're waiting and when we're going through something and we know that we're not there yet. Let me share this with somebody. And I know we're all spiritual and everything, but everybody can't handle your problems. Can I get a witness? But cast your cares upon him. Can I get a witness? I've had to learn, amen, that because sometime when you run your mouth, amen, folks will think less of you. Can I get a witness? That listen, that sometimes there's more power, and somebody needs to hear this, and just keeping your mouth closed. I've learned in life that when folks don't know you and they know that they're trying to take advantage of you, can I get a witness that you have power over them if you sometimes don't open up your mouth? Let me help you, because this is going to bless somebody. They know how much something is worth, but you don't. And whenever they come with an offer, it ain't always going to be the best offer. Can I get a witness? And they will come and they say, listen, this is my final offer. This is the best I can do for you. Nobody else in the world can do this for you. And when they give it to you, you just go, Is somebody hearing me? You don't say, well, I looked in this newspaper over here. I looked over here. Because you know what they're going to do? Then they're going to go and research that. And listen, there may be a better deal out there than that. Can I get a witness? Or there may be something, come on, better than that. Amen. And then all they're going to do is give you that which you looked up. Oh, y'all ain't praying with me, somebody. You just go, You know what? I think I'm going to wait. Here's my number. And if you think you can do better than what you just said, I've got nothing but time on my hands. I'm in no rush. You call me when you're ready, and I'll be there. Can I get a witness? Oh, y'all ain't praying with me. Woo! All of a sudden, amen, they may not call you the next day because, look, they don't want to look like they crumbled. But guess what? When his things get done, and I'm going to say this to somebody, never, ever, ever concede to when says it's only good for today. It's only good for the next 15 minutes. Make a decision or it's going away. Can I get a witness? If it was good yesterday, if it's good today, it'll be there tomorrow. Can I get, come on somebody, can I get a witness? Come on somebody. Amen. Because some of y'all trying to run down the aisle, trying to get this job when something else is there. Come on, can I get a witness? Verse 6 says what? We should both hope and wait quietly. Come on. Now that silence is an expression of the psalmist. For amen, for Psalm 62, verse 1 says, truly my soul waiteth upon God, and from him cometh my salvation. But then Psalm 37, verse 7 says this, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because the man which bringeth wicked devices to pass. It says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers, listen to this, come on somebody, shall be cut off. But those who wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Can I get a witness? See, as he closed it in Lamentations, because Lamentations, what that was about is what? That he was in sorrow, that he was weeping, that he was in mourning. Can I get a witness? But it says the captives are not to give away to despair. The Lord had brought them into subjection and had promised that it would last for 70 years. Their task was to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. For it was not the wishful thinking kind of hope. And that's what some of y'all got in church. Wishful. Well, I hope it'll work out. You know how we pray. Lord, if it's your will, guide the surgeon hands. Oh, y'all ain't praying with me. Be with this or that. No, your prayer should be, Lord, heal me. Your prayer should be today, Lord, help me in my situation. God, I know that there are attorneys in the courtroom, but I know the judge. Lord, have mercy, somebody. Lord, have mercy. You know, we got to understand, we've got to learn how to wait. But as I close, my last scripture is Isaiah 40, verse 27. It starts out, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? Do you know there is no searching of his understanding? Verse 28, I'm sorry. And then it says in verse 29, he give power to the faint. And to them who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and shall utterly fall. Can I get a witness? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Isn't that good news? Because some of us think that if we can get to our blessings, that we can just run to it. If we can just get there a little quicker, that I'll be blessed. But God says, no, all you got to do is walk in it. I know you can run, but I want to know if you can walk with it. I want to know if you really believe that God is faithful. I want to know if you really believe, church, today that he can do what he says he's going to do. And I'm done, but why do we focus on this faithfulness? Because somewhere in Isaiah it says, who shall go for us? Come on, who can pay the price? Amen. I heard somebody say, here am I, send me. Can I get a witness? Moses couldn't do it. Moses was a murderer. Moses lost his temper and struck the rock when he wasn't supposed to strike the rock. Moses couldn't do it. Noah couldn't do it. They destroyed the whole world with a flood, and yet there was still some mess on the ark. Can I get a witness? Noah got drunk, amen, and his son, amen, mocked him even while he was drunk. Amen. They were still sin around even with Noah and his family. Can I get a witness? Noah couldn't do it. Elijah couldn't do it. Elijah was blessed, amen, to be able to mess with, amen, 800 prophets, 450 prophets of Baal, and another 400, amen. But yet he called upon fire to come down from heaven and ran from one woman. Can I get a witness, somebody? Jeremiah couldn't do it. Jeremiah had preached and he prayed, amen, and he wept and he mourned and he lamented. But he couldn't turn the people's hearts away from going to slavery. But then there was one in heaven who said, Father, they've all messed up. Adam brought sin into this world through disobedience, but God, I will be the second Adam. Lord, send me. Jesus came down 42 generations into the womb, amen, of a woman named Mary. Can I get a witness? Yes, and yet that Joseph had never touched her, but the Holy Spirit, amen, became the Father. Can I get a witness? To be able to provide for that incubation process. Amen. And then when he was birthed, not in a mansion, but in a manger. Lord, have mercy. He came and modeled what it meant to be a Savior, a carpenter's son. If Jesus could have a job, we need to have a job. Lord, have mercy, somebody. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He even went into the temple, amen, and was teaching them at the 10th age of 20. Amen. Others were saying, amen, thou sayest this, and amen, others say that. But Jesus said, my Father, which is in heaven, says that we need to do this. Matter of fact, amen. Mary and Joseph were almost put away by DHS. One day they got so excited about going from one town to another that miscommunication happened. And they both left the town, and Joseph was out front with one group of people. Mary was back with the women. Can I get a witness? And then when they got to their destination, they said, where is Jesus? They quickly in haste went back, found him in the temple. And they said, boy, why did you not come with us? Jesus looked up at mom and daddy on earth and said, I was about my Father's business. That's a word from somebody in here. That if y'all sit there and leave your family, leave Jesus, they'll ask you, where are you going? You ought to say, I'm about my Father's business. Jesus got to the tender age of 30. Some of us, they still keep calling you. I've been pastoring here for 12 years, almost 13 years, 47 years old. 3 more years, I can walk across the bridge and join the senior center. And folks still saying, how you doing, young man? I'm just saying. But at the tender age of 30, ministry began. Disciples began to follow him. His first miracle was going to a wedding. See, some of y'all are so stuck up and everything. That's not in it. I can't go to a wedding. Wait a minute. Jesus turned water into wine. Lord, have mercy. I'm not endorsing no alcoholics in here. Because we can talk about what that wine was as a difference from what we call wine today. Amen. But Mary said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. One day he walked by a cemetery. There was a crazy man running around the cemetery. That's okay, because some of y'all ain't going nowhere in the cemetery. The man was cutting himself, running around naked, hollering and screaming. Jesus rebuked the demons and amen. And what, the next time they found him sitting on the side of the road, clothed and in his right mind. But the spiritual people couldn't handle that. When Jesus said, amen, they said, we have never seen the Father. Jesus said this, and I'm done. He said, if you see me, you have seen the Father. And that's the thing that separates us in this world today, amen, that they don't believe in this sin-filled world that anybody, amen, could God would come down here on earth and be around all these defiling people, amen, and live and model, because nobody could be God and wrap themselves in flesh. He was 100% man and 100% God. Can I get a witness? Yes, he never sinned. They got tired of him and hung him on Calvary's cross. They nailed spikes in his hands. They nailed spikes in his feet. He died on Calvary. But I'm so glad that they put him in a tomb. Jesus said, if you destroy this temple, in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. Come on, the spiritual people said, wait a minute, do you remember what he said right there? They said, yeah, so we're going to put guards to make sure that they don't steal his body. Can I get a witness? How many of you know that you can't stop God? They rolled a stone, a heavy stone that took multiple people to put it into place. Amen. So they were sure, and they put those Roman soldiers there to make sure nothing would happen. But I'm so glad that I serve a God that when he wakes up and when he wants to do something, can I get a witness? The earth rocked and rolled. Can I get a witness? The stone rolled away. The Bible says those Roman soldiers fell down as if they were dead for fright of what had taken place. But let's don't get it twisted, because that stone was not rolled away that Jesus could get out. Because Jesus was able to, he was a rock that could walk through a rock. Can I get a witness, somebody? Amen. He was able to get out, but that we may look in and witness that he is risen. He is faithful, and we ought to be grateful, because he got up one day when it's all over and said down here, we can truly say, great is thy faithfulness. Our family may cry, our family may, you know, be upset because we're gone, but guess what? Great is thy faithfulness. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And one day he's coming back. The trumpet shall sound. And there, those that are dead in Christ will be raised up incorruptible. Can I get a witness? Lord, have mercy. But it ain't going to be over, because then one day, Lord, have mercy, we will all stand in the presence of God. Come on, whether you're Muslim, whether you're Buddhist, come on, whether you're Jehovah's Witness, whether you follow Confucius, whether you follow any other of these crazy fastens and religions, because we don't have a religion. Christianity is not a religion. Amen. Get it right. Amen. Don't get it twisted. Christianity is a relationship with the Savior. Can I get a witness, somebody? But my Bible says that every knee is going to bow, every tongue going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let us rise to our feet. Today, great is thy faithfulness. There's no coincidence.